can sing if you want me to. Ba, ba,
ba, ba. I think we just started with you singing.
Good evening. Welcome to Edge of the Rabbit Hole. Yes, Vanessa is going to sing for us tonight. Go ahead, Vanessa, sing. Ba, 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 ba. Yeah, we're just starting. It's we had our intro music that we tried to play the last couple of weeks here. The artist Laura Bradley from The Longing, we actually discovered that she needs to actually go through her licensing company for us to actually use that as our intro music. So getting all that squared away, but check out The Longing, who is going to be our intro music. And besides, we had whatever weird, crazy audio issues starting off anyway. So we hope you are able to listen right now or able to hear. So in any case, you are watching Edge of the Rabbit Hole live stream show. I am Mike Ricksecker, author and ghost historian, with Vanessa Hogel, my co-hostess. So go ahead and say good evening, Vanessa.
Hi, how are you?
we're just gonna shoot from the hip tonight, be a little off the cuff. This is it's really our 1 year anniversary show, but it's also the year end show as well. So it's kind of all gonna tie in together because we started like at the very end of last year as a radio show. And now a year later, here we are as a live stream show. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of, recap, where we've been, guests we've had, things like that, what we're doing now, and where we're going to be going in the new year. So that's what's on tap for this evening. Hope you enjoy the show. The chat room is now open on the live stream. So just go there on YouTube and go ahead, feel free to comment. We already have Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast, saying hello. So go check out that YouTube channel as well. All right. So, Vanessa, 1 year we've been doing this.
Hello, everyone. As Mike said, he is author and ghost historian and fantabulous fellow, wonderful paranormal investigator. For those just now tuning in, as I said, I'm Vanessa Hogel, author myself, third book coming out. Mike's grinding his teeth. I'm hoping for February. But if it doesn't happen, that's okay. That's okay. But that's the goal. Okay? I do readings and work with other teams and stuff. Nothing too impressive there. Starting my own jewelry business. Yay. So look for me on that as well. And
Great jewelry. Check it out. She's got a lot of great stuff out there.
If you like little voodoo dolls that hang from your neck, I'm your gal. Anyway, and dragon's eyes. But like Mike said, this is our year-end show and our kind of intro into what we're branching out into, and that is YouTube. What we started on a podcast with a radio show that we did twice a month, which is wonderful, and we had a lot of fun with that. But I think we kind of thought it'd be fun for the people listening to be able to see us as well and feel more of a part of the show. And that's what we're going for, and being able to bring our guests in and do the same and hopefully go like one big happy paranormal family for those who are watching. Would you agree, Mike?
Well, yeah, definitely. I think with this format, it's a lot more interactive. We have the chat room that's right there, next to the live stream. So, and then we can also pump different media through this. So in the past, this is what, our third or fourth now? We've thrown up like some snapshots and a little video. We're still, learning the technology of live stream and what all we can do with this. So there'll be a lot more of that sort of thing down the road. But started almost a year ago as a radio podcast, and our first guest was Marla Brooks. Remember that, Vanessa?
That was so much fun. Yeah. That was so much fun. She's a cool chick.
Yeah, she really is. She's really very cool.
And it was nice to get, one of my witchy sisters on there. That was pretty stinking cool because that doesn't happen a whole lot, people don't talk about it a whole lot. She just dove right in.
Yeah. She, and being a new show and that, you and I have, had it before, really sat on this side of it. We've been on a number of shows ourselves being interviewed, but never actually the host. So, you know, she made it very comfortable for us.
Bless her.
Right. Yeah, so that was really good. And we've had, we've had Rob Gutcher on there, Dustin Perry, Andrea Perrin, just to, you know, kind of throw out a few names of people that we've had on. And, you know, it was really, I think, very cool to kind of immediately, you know, get some of those, you know, people on our show. Rob and Andrea are very dear friends of mine. So, you know, they're all willing to, yeah, sure, you know, we'll come on. And I think, you know, it was a good thing that, you know, we were able to, you know, have people with that kind of cachet, you know, come on to a new show and kind of make us feel like, okay, you know, we're really doing this.
It's been interesting the way that it's worked, you know, because, you know, thank heavens, you know, we really haven't had to, do a whole lot in the way of getting people to want to come on.
No.
You know? I mean, like you mentioned Dustin Perry. We didn't contact him. He contacted us. He contacted me on
Facebook. Yeah, he contacted you.
And asked to be on. So I found that fascinating, and I have the messages to prove it. So, you know, Mike knows me. I screenshot everything.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it's nice that our name has gotten out there. And that we make people feel comfortable as well. They feel like they can come on here and be themselves on the radio show, and then now I'm here. So I think that's freaking wonderful. I love it. I can't wait to see what we're able to do in this upcoming year with this.
Well, yeah, and we've covered a lot of different topics. Like, you know, with Dustin, it was a little, you know, surprising that, you know, it wasn't just about, you know, his experiences on Ghost Hunters. You know, we got into, you know, how he felt going into like different churches, you know, between, you know, a large, you know, church and, you know, a little country, you know, chapel over there. So that was kind of interesting. You know, we go, you know, edge of the rabbit hole is kind of where we go. So, you know, we had Rob Gutcher on here, and he was talking about, you know, being able to interact with, you know, the spirits from, you know, your past animals, you know, the animals that you had once owned and had passed away. So there's a lot of different topics that we covered.
And that was a fascinating show. I loved having him on. And then, like you said, talking about Andrea Perrin, I mean, just her energy alone is, I mean, I could just sit and listen to her talk all night.
Oh, yeah.
she's got such a pure energy. And anyone, you've had the pleasure of meeting her in person. I have not. But if it's anything like meeting her that way, it was just fantastic. And just like I said, such a pure spirit. We've been, you know, lucky enough to have some really impressive teams on as well, like Beyond Perception Investigators in Virginia, BPI, with Gwen Clapper being on. She actually did our radio show and she did the YouTube show. And just to have somebody of her caliber on is amazing. And you know, I got a few up my sleeve for the coming year.
of course. Yeah, and we've had some of the other Haunted Road Media members like Adam Tillery and Lee Ehrlich on here, which has been fantastic. We've had Kat Gash on. We had her around early. and they each bring, you know, a different range of experiences to the show. So we've really dove into a lot of deep supernatural topics on the show, which, you know, that's why we call it Edge of the Rabbit Holes, because we just, you know, we go down there.
we've been down a few times.
Oh, yeah.
I think we went further, you know, than maybe we anticipated a couple of times. As a matter of fact, memory serves, we had gotten to a discussion, and it was one that I was so fascinated that you answered, because, I mean, I could not possibly answer this question. We were talking about religion and how it is.
You're going to go there.
You knew I was, you know, about a religion and how it is viewed, you know, by religious families who have members who are, you know, involved in the paranormal and such. And
right. You
had such a close connection with somebody in your family that is quite religious, you know, very devout. And they were completely accepting of you and your discussions about it. And I was so pleased to hear that, because it's not something that you normally do.
Yeah,
and I
it
think
was.
Touched the nerves.
Yeah, it was really a an awkward moment for me. And this was last year, around this time. And I have an aunt who, she's a nun, but she's not just a nun. She is actually the mother superior of her convent. So she's the top chica, you know? We were visiting her just after Christmas last year. It was the whole side of my mother's family, a number of people that made it out to there. And, you know, a lot of them know what I do with, you know, investigating the paranormal and all that. I hadn't seen her in years. And so I wasn't sure if she knew about it at all. In fact, one of my aunts, kind of out of nowhere said, oh, and by the way, Mike does, this, that, and the other thing. He writes these ghost books, and he's involved with the, paranormal. He does investigations and all of that. And all of a sudden, boom, I'm like right front and center. And I'm like, I didn't really want to be put on the spot here like this. Because we've discussed it many times on here how, you'll just get beat over the head with a Bible. I've had that from a lot of people before. And my aunt, who's the nun, was absolutely intrigued. She wanted to know, more about my experiences, things that I've seen, places that I've been and all that. She, did not ridicule me at all. She was very, very fascinated about what I had experienced and what I've been writing about. So, yeah, that was completely, completely awesome.
And I think it needed to be said. To have somebody of her caliber being as accepting as she was. And, I love putting you on the spot, Mike. I mean, it's fun for me. This is what I live for. Okay? Yes, I'm twisted, people. It's okay. But it was nice because, somebody like myself, all I've ever heard is you're going to hell.
I've gotten plenty of that from other people.
Yeah. So to be able to hear that other side of it was really nice. Yeah. And I was glad we jumped into that particular hole because it is one that makes people quite uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, because you're talking about, spirituality, you're talking about different, people's different religious beliefs, and, that's one of the, lightning rods that, stirs the pot is, once you start getting into religion and people's faith and all of that, and, we all have our own beliefs, but, there are people that are just, if you're doing this and you're going to hell, and, they're just extremely adamant about it, and it's quite unfortunate, but it's there. It's part of this world that we're in, unfortunately.
Exactly. Let them be.
Yeah.
But excuse me, I'm not sick. You can't get it through YouTube. We'll call.
Yeah, it's not contagious through the video.
It's not contagious through YouTube. Promise you. What else have we talked about that was really? I was really intrigued by Lee. And the different stories he was telling about when he found that burnt out village type thing up in the mountains. I want to say that was in California.
It was in California, yeah.
And then also his discussions, and being one of the foremost, people on underwater paranormal.
Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of his investigations. I mean, he's an explorer, and he's actually a world-renowned certified scuba instructor. But one of the things that he also does is, salvaging, underwater salvaging. And he has had a lot of experience going down to these old wrecks and experiencing paranormal phenomena down inside these old wrecks. So very, very interesting tales that he has and experiences that with the paranormal underwater. It's just really fascinating.
And that is
so. His book is Master of the Abyss. Grab that.
Exactly. Yeah, Master of the Abyss. And that was the funniest thing because until we got him on, all of my experience in this field, everything I've ever done, it never occurred to me that there would be experiences underwater.
Yeah. If you think about it, it's
fine.
Yeah. Well. And a lot of a lot of people have perished in the water. Ships have sunk and people have died, and their souls You know, especially, you know, we've talked about the Goldenrod Showboat, you know, and, you know, Captain Menke, the longtime proprietor of that boat, you know, he has stayed with the ship. Well, some of those ships end up there under the water, and so, you know, they are experiencing somehow that boat as it was back in the day, or they may be in any case, and so they may not even realize that they're underwater, but, you know, you dive down there and you see them, and, you know, it's really different.
That is, I'm just absolutely fascinated by that, you know. And I was so pleased that we got him on there. I still, y'all, I suck. I'm the worst person in the world. I want to read everybody's books. I don't have time, but I'm getting there.
His is a big one, too. You need to set aside some time, because his stories are, I mean, they're long, but they're great. There's so much information.
See, I can't wait. I need to do that for myself. I've got to do that. But just even talking to him, because he and I have had quite a few conversations, you know, just over the phone.
Yeah.
And just talking to him about his experiences, they're absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, I could sit and listen to it all day, you know, but I got to go to work. But yeah, I'm so glad we delved into that. I would like, you know, as we go further. And I'm hoping that everybody else feels the same on this, but I would really like to explore the UFO situation and how people feel about that.
Well, see, we didn't get Andrea Perrin back on for that.
Yes. Well, yeah, because
we touched on that a little bit with her.
Mm-hmm. But I would love to hear different opinions and theories on that, because, I mean, I have my own, as I'm sure you do. And I'm wondering, for those of us who haven't talked out loud about it, how similar they actually are once we do get together and start discussing it. And then that leads you to wonder, why are they similar? What's causing the similarity? Is there some type of impression that we're given at a certain time in our life? Or is it some type of imprint from previous life or imprint from higher being? Or it's all these things that are in my head that I just want to get a bunch of people on here and let's talk. Let's get it out, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of different possibilities, and if you look at a lot of the different ancient astronaut theories and you go back into our ancient texts and start relating, you can start relating a lot of that to, well, you know, what they're describing here, what they're depicting here, you know, that very well could be aliens. And so, you know, it makes you wonder, okay, or, you know, have we descended from, you know, some sort of alien race, you know, and there. So there's a lot of different theories that are out there and places that we can go with all of that.
Yeah, it would be interesting, not from a paranormal standpoint, but from this particular standpoint that we're discussing. I would love to get somebody on here that was an expert in the Alexandria Library.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to get somebody on the show that, you know, actually, you know, lived during the time that the library existed, but, you know, they might be a little old and crusty.
I'll see what I can do. You know I had to go there.
Oh, yeah.
You know I had to.
Yeah, no, anything from, you know, relating to the Library of Alexandria is, you know, fantastic. I love ancient history, and, shoot, I haven't actually followed up on it, but I was, oh my gosh, it was probably a year and a half ago that I had started putting together a show that was, what the heck was it? It was ancient and historic supernatural paranormal secrets, and I just never got around to finishing an episode of that. It's like I started piecing it together and just never finished it off.
We get to work on that.
Would you like to work on that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's work on that.
All right. Because that, to me, I mean, it. Not that we're ever going to be able to, well, I won't say never, but not that it appears that we're ever going to be able to make this a scientific field in the way that pleases everybody. But
all right.
If we can show the historical aspect of it and the connection between the two, then I think that might be a step in the right direction to getting a lot more credibility.
Well, I think so. And that is definitely, you know, given the context of our show, it's definitely going down the rabbit hole.
Yes. So. And I like that.
Of course.
I like that a lot, you know. But, yeah, the historical aspect of it, just with the places that you and I have both been. You know, you stateside, me overseas, just the history
right.
that you can feel as you're walking through it. I mean, it's like when I was in Edinburgh, it's you're walking through a crowd of them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't throw a stone not hit somebody that most people can't see.
Yeah, Edinburgh, Scotland, definitely a bucket list item, and you've been there.
Yes, I have. I can even tell you where to stay, because it was haunted, and it wasn't a hotel. We rented an apartment. We rented a little flat, a little two-bedroom, two-bath flat,
yeah.
And it was right above this little Chinese restaurant. So from the outside, it looked very scary. Very scary. But there was a Greg's right down the street, and they got these great sausage rolls. You just love it, Mike. But it was a beautiful apartment that once you stepped into it, it was like it was done by those twin fellas that do all those fancy homes on TV.
Okay, property. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen the show.
It was like 10-star on the inside. It was that nice.
Oh, nice.
And it wasn't expensive at all, but it was only like a 4-mile trek, I think, to Edinburgh Castle.
Okay.
Which isn't that bad, but it's all uphill. But there's downhill when you're coming home.
I was about to ask, is it uphill both ways?
Yeah, I know, right? Felt like it, I'm not going to lie. But just there and in Mary King's Close and in the dungeon and everything, even though the dungeons were more commercialized because it was theatrical,
right.
You could still feel. And it's, you want to walk like this. you want to pull yourself in because they're like right here, you know?
Right.
And I know you felt that when you went different places here stateside. It's like, I'm sharing the breath with a bunch of people that I can't see, but here we are anyway. And I think if we can pull that other historical part in, you know, in with it and get some experts in on, you know, maybe where we would be if certain events didn't happen in history, then maybe we might be able to tie some stuff together. Or I could just be nuts.
Oh, I think we're all a little nuts, right?
Yeah.
Did you go to Greyfriars Kirkyard?
We went, did we go to Greyfriars? We went to Greyfriars.
Okay.
We went to Greyfriars. Here's the weird thing, okay? This is the very bizarre thing for me. I fully expected when I went overseas that I would be just completely blown away by all of the paranormal activity that happens over there based on the history.
Right.
But the funny thing was I felt unbelievably comfortable and welcome. And it was almost like, oh, okay, she's back.
Yeah, welcome home.
Yeah, here we go, you know, which I do have a connection. I've told you this before. I don't know if the viewers know this or not, but my great times 15 grandparents were Elizabeth Plantagenet and Henry Tudor, which means my great times 15 granduncle is Richard III. Well, I went, before I ever went over there, I did an investigation with NP Paranormal. And they were at a place where it was called Nine Lady Stone Circle, which I didn't know what it was at the time. And they actually got an EVP asking for me by name. I mean, they asked, where is Vanessa? And it's on the EVP and it's live. So right. I have a connection to that area of the world. And so I felt very comfortable. I never felt threatened except for Boots, that Mr. Boots fella. He was breathing whiskey in my face.
I've heard a number of things about Mr. Boots. Yeah.
Mr. Boots is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's an asshole. I'm just going to say it. And he stinks.
He stinks. Okay.
Yes. And I love whiskey, but I don't like it right in my face. You right. know? But I didn't have the bad experiences. I didn't have the... Not that they're bad, but I didn't have the negative feeling or feeling like I was threatened in any way, you know. And then when I went to Virginia, I did, which is strange. So you would think in a place more steeped in history, I would have felt a little bit more threatened.
Well, I mean, it's probably not, you know, how much history is there, but the type of history that's there.
Well, yeah, I guess that my familial connection with Virginia is a lot more recent.
Right.
And just like when we were doing my interview, which hasn't been... Well, no, part of it was released. I didn't realize where Chris and I sat down to do my interview. I mean, you see it in the video. I look over and just start crying. Yeah. Because 5 feet away from me is a big old tombstone that says Pollard on it.
That's okay.
That's my maiden name.
Yeah, that's your maiden name.
And they're all through the cemetery, and I didn't know.
Wow. So it was just really, really shocking and surprising you're seeing your maiden name all over the place out there.
Oh, yeah, and it's not a common...
No, well, I suspect not.
In England it is. They're all over the place.
Right, there. No, that'd be like if I walked into a cemetery and suddenly saw a Ricksecker sitting there, I'd be like, whoa, okay. Because that's a very uncommon name.
You want to know what the crazy thing was? In Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond, Virginia, not only was there an insane amount of Pollards, there was a crazy amount of Lopers, which is Chris's last name, and Luckett's.
Oh, wow.
Which is Gwen's maiden name.
So it was like a whole family reunion going on.
Yeah, which we knew it was going to be that way when I went. We didn't know how much.
Yeah.
So, but it's, you know, I can't wait till you get to go to some of those places too, because I want to hear what you think of them.
Yeah. Well, I'll get out there one of these days. I mean, I do have family connections to Scotland, the Loch Ness area, Castle Grant, all that. My family line up there is Grant. So one of these days I'll get up there and, you know.
We need to start a GoFundMe page.
There you go. There you go. I know Shauna wants to go. So we'll get her out there too.
Oh, yeah.
She really wants to get to Ireland, and I'd love to get to Ireland as well. So we'll get out there one of these days. There's a lot to really explore and dive into. And, you know, I guess, you know, something I wanted to ask you as you were talking about all that, you know, past lives. So, you know, you have the family connections there, but what about an actual, you know, past life connection?
Well, that's the funny thing. I actually can't believe you asked that.
Come on. We're going down the rabbit hole.
Okay. Are you ready for me to take a big old jump?
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's dive right in. Jump in.
Nine Lady Stone Circle. About 10 years ago, maybe 11 by now, I had a vision during meditation. And I saw myself, but not myself. I saw me much younger, but I still knew it was me, okay? Yeah. And I was in that body, but I knew it was me, and I was running across the grass, and I was barefoot, and I could feel the dew on my feet, and I could feel the skirt against my legs and the cloak, you know, kind of trailing behind me, and the roughness of the fabric of the shirt, and I could feel all of that, and I'm happy, and I'm about 17, and I'm laughing, and I'm happy, and I hear all these people behind me. Men and women, so I'm not threatened because I hear women too, until I realize they're chasing me. And they're not chasing me because they're running with me. They're chasing me because they're trying to get me. And I'm running, and it's pitch black, and then all of a sudden, this beam of light comes down from the moon. It's like the clouds open up, and there's the moon.
Right.
And hits this branch on a tree, and this big hole, you know, right there on the tree, the little eye hole, and I hit it just like that,
right?
And I wake up out of that body like I am now, watching them hang that body. And guess where that was at?
That was right there at the circle.
Nine Lady Stone Circle. And what people didn't realize and what I didn't realize is, which wasn't that's not even the only connection that I had to that either, but what I didn't realize when we were doing the readings there, I went to sleep that night after we did the investigation, because again, they're over there, you know, 6 hours ahead of us, and I'm here in Oklahoma, and I went to sleep that night, and I dreamed of it, and I sat straight up in bed, and I was like, what the fuck?
And so I actually had a dream of it as well.
Yeah, well, not just that. Get this. I got up and I drew what I saw in my dream.
Right.
And Nine Ladies Stone Circle, which has apparently been there for a very, very, very long time, mm-hmm. is a pentagram.
Right, yeah.
I looked all over the internet. I could not find one reference to it being a pentagram. and it's a
you figured that perfect, out.
Yeah, it's a perfect one because I saw it, and it explains why the guys could get they got their strongest power in the center of the circles.
Right.
They got their strongest signal.
Hey, we have a question from the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast. Question. In the last year of your shows, did you learn anything? Something interesting that you never thought about or caught you off guard? Just curious.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's been a number of things. I mean, I know definitely when Rob was on, because I haven't really explored this area very much at all. When Rob Gutcher was on, and he was talking about the spirits of animals. To me, that was really intriguing. How he talked about being able to communicate with those spirits of animals. How a lot of times they'll actually stick with the person and watch over, or kind of hang around a while for that person to even get another pet. And so it was a lot of interesting stories and tales that he had. About these lives of the animals and the spirits of the animals.
And I agree completely because I had never really thought of that as well. I mean, I've seen animal spirits, but I never made that connection. But again, for me, it was when we had Leon. Because, like I said, out of all of my experience, out of all of my life of being a part of this field in one way or another, it never occurred to me. That if I went down to a sunken ship, that, I don't know, Captain Joe Blow might be walking around there thinking he was still above water sailing. Yep. It never crossed my mind. And to me, that made, it so much more real and vivid and mysterious. The ocean is already considered that. You throw ghosts into the mix? I mean, damn.
Well, another interesting thing about his book, Master of the Abyss, he talks about, not just about all these, paranormal encounters, but, he also had a connection with a large manta ray, and for a number of years, a lot of people thought it was a huge sea monster out there, and there was a great fear of it and all that. And he actually, interacted with this thing. It was like, oh, well, it's not a sea monster. It's a it's a manta ray, but it was very powerful yet graceful, and basically, the sense that he got from the thing was that, it was just curious and trying to be playful. And because of its enormous size, people were misinterpreting that. But it definitely had a presence that was almost supernatural in nature within the sea and the surrounding area. And when, it finally, passed away, and nobody really knows exactly when it died, but there was just a different energy about the water, and you just kind of knew that it was gone. And that's not anything that's really, a haunting, so to speak, but it is, in animals, a creature's energy there, within the water.
Well, and you have led into something that I think also needs to be addressed, Mike. If they, with Real Paranormal Podcast, with their question, I would say that you and I would agree this was something that we were happy to have put out there. Just like with the manta ray and the fact that it was so big and could be perceived as dangerous or hurtful to somebody if they got too close. That is one thing that I knew anyway but have learned even more over this past year is that not everything out there, not everything that appears to be evil or malignant or dangerous in this field, it doesn't mean that it is. I think we need to go into these investigations and these areas and situations with an open heart, because in many instances, this is just a spirit just might be trying to get your attention, and it doesn't know another way how.
Yeah.
Doesn't know how to do it.
Well, I think one of the issues that we kind of come across is Yeah, okay. You know, there's a spirit at a location. People have experienced a haunting, and just because they don't know any better, you know, there's this great fear that's grown up over it. So, yeah, it may just be a spirit that's trying to communicate, and because you know, people have a fear of that unknown, they blow it up into something that's, you know, evil or nasty or, like you said, malignant or malevolent or any of those, you know, synonyms. And yeah, and it's just their fear has manifested something about the spirit that it's not.
Well, and I think a way to maybe put this so that the layperson who isn't in this field and is just interested in it might understand a little bit better is, let's say that you have somebody that is maybe physically larger than you, but might be mentally and emotionally inferior in age, okay? Right. That they might have some disabilities, they might have a more violent nature simply because they can't express themselves the same way that we can. That happens when you can't see them too.
Yeah.
You know, it does. Trust me, I know what I speak of. And just because something, you know, pats you on the back of the head or might accidentally scratch you trying to get your attention, it doesn't mean that it's a demon. For heaven's sake, please understand that. Doesn't mean it's a demon. Doesn't mean it's the devil. Trust me, the devil's got way more important shit to do than be just, you know, popping up and scratching every Joe Blow that's walking out there, okay? You might have a spirit who just does not know how to communicate. I did a reading the other day, a very quick reading, for somebody that saw something that would look very frightening to somebody. And it acted very frightening to this person, even though he wasn't scared. And I drew what I saw. And it's on my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and stuff. It's the bald-headed fella that I drew.
Right, okay. I've seen it.
Yeah. He's not dangerous. He was a patient. He was from a long time ago. He was brutally mistreated. He had his tongue taken away. He cannot speak, so if the guttural sounds sound like growls, all he is doing is trying to get attention for help. And I'm not saying he goes about it the right way, but that happens, and that is the one thing that I have really learned, and I want other people to understand. Have a heart.
Well, and you bring up an interesting, well, at least for me, I have a question about that particular spirit. Okay, he lost his tongue. Maybe they, you know, took it out for, you know, maybe it was something abusive, maybe he had an injury, whatever it was. But now he's in spirit form. Shouldn't he be able to have some sort of use of his faculties again? You know? Or is he of that mind that he's still in his state when he lost the tongue?
I would say over half of the spirits that I have come into contact with doing what I do, over half of them at least are still in the same shape they were in when they passed.
Okay.
You know, and why, I don't know. Why, I don't know. I don't claim to have all the answers by any stretch of the imagination. My feelings on it are that you can go into the light, we'll just put it that way. You come right on back, too. So once you go into that light, maybe you get yourself back. But if you haven't crossed that line, then that's when you're kind of not in limbo, because I don't want to use that, but right, that's when you're still the same way that you were before, you know, or when you passed. And so I could say it's probably 50-50. But, I mean, all of them that I have spoken with, everybody that I've communicated with, the ones that I have dealt with, it's a two-way street. Once they go there, they can come right on back. But you tend to find those to be the ones that are safer, a little bit easier to understand, less volatile. They know what has happened. They know
right
what to do now. And they're more at peace. and they seem to be more of like a gentle presence. Those that have not made that trip and are in a sense still here, not stuck, they just haven't figured it out yet and need a little help, they tend to be a little bit more angry. Doesn't mean they're demons or a devil.
You're right. No, there's, we've encountered malevolent human spirits, and, you know, that's, yeah, they're not the devil, they're not a demon. You know, people are really quick to go to, oh, it's a demon, and no, just because somebody, you know, was an asshole in life and decided to continue to be an asshole in the afterlife doesn't mean they're a demon.
Bingo!
Yeah.
I know plenty of those, Mike.
Right.
I know assholes, and I know when they die, they're going to remain assholes.
Exactly.
They started that way, and they grew bigger, and then they'll die, and they'll still be an asshole.
Yeah, demons just are few and far between. They do exist, but, yes. And I think part of it is the whole, hype machine, the media hype machine, that, you know, we've had all the ghost shows on for a while, and, you know, it kind of became old hat to do, okay, hauntings on television. They got to up the ante, and, you know, what's the next step? Well, it's, you know, a demon. So, you know, that's where everybody's going with the shows and everything.
I have a theory on that.
Okay.
I want to see what you think. And I'm gonna make some people angry here, but, you know, I don't care. My theory on the whole demon devil thing is, first off, do I know they exist? Yes, I do. And we'll explain that on a future show. Mike
knows.
You're
about to put me on the spot again?
I don't want to get into it right now. I'm not going to explain it. Let's just say I know. Here's the thing. I think the reason a lot of people need to look for that instead of being, you know, satisfied with the fact that we've proven there's life beyond death. Way too much stuff has happened to say that there isn't. I think it's not so much they want to go one step further just to prove it to everybody else. It's like a thrill for themselves. It's almost like touching death. You know, if they can just get that close to it, then it's like, it's almost like an adrenaline rush.
So you're talking about people wanting to get close to demons for a rush, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, and once they finally...
Well, yeah, there's certainly people that are like that. Yeah.
Once they finally do, if it ever happens, they'll realize the error of their ways.
Well, and you know, and we were talking about Lee earlier. One of his stories in his book is about, you know, when he was younger, there was a friend of his that had an old grimoire for, it was supposed to be able to conjure demons, and, you know, Lee and I think it was another one of his buddies were like, what in the world are you trying to do with this book? And the guy was actually like, oh, you know, it'll be fine. You know, he was trying to be a tough guy, you know, and show that he could, you know, handle all this, and conjured up something he shouldn't have, you know, and of course couldn't handle it. So, yeah, there's probably that aspect that's in there as well. People, you know, trying to prove that they're a tough guy and can, you know, handle all this stuff. And it's like, you really don't know what you're getting into here.
Exactly right. And I remember that show with Lee when he mentioned that, because if you go back and you listen to the podcast, you'll hear this. Because I know the book he's talking about.
Yeah.
And I would not touch that with a 10-foot pole. I'm just
saying. I thought it was really crazy that... because he searched for that particular book for years and years and years, because the modern version of it had a lot of the stuff that he had seen within the book taken out, but he found some copy that was, you know, 100 years old or a couple hundred years old or what have you, in Ireland, and when it was shipped to him in Florida, it somehow got lost in transit, you know, coming into Florida. So, you know, he never got a hold of it again. Who knows where it is, but yeah, somehow, some way, just suddenly lost out there. Yeah.
Not surprised one little bit. Yeah, and I mean, for those who, you know, are new watching the show, I'm Wiccan. Shouldn't bother me one bit.
Right.
I wouldn't touch that thing for love or money. I wouldn't do it. I know that book, and I know what it says, and I'm good.
You're good with that.
I'm good. I'm just going to stay over here in my own little bubble. So.
Hey, we were talking earlier, well, not that long ago, about you know, people as they're seen when, you know, when they're in spirit form, and you're saying that, you know, about half of them are in their form when they pass away.
Myself,
yeah. What about those, you know, and I've heard stories about this, those that appear as different ages to different people. So, like, I'll just take, I don't know, my grandfather, for example. You know, he passed away years ago. And if, let's say I were to see him, I'd see him as, you know, an older, elderly man, the way I remember him, where, you know, somebody else in the family, you know, I'll just throw my father out there, who doesn't believe in any of this, but maybe he sees him as a younger man, how he would remember him, you know, growing up. So, you know, what's your theory on how some of these spirits are able to appear as different ages to different people?
Well, I mean, to me, it's really simple, because generally spirit communication is done in your mind. You know, rarely will you have them sitting right in front of you and you're watching their mouth move and you can feel the breath coming out of their mouth while they speak. Most of it is in your mind.
So you're talking about seeing them with the third eye.
Exactly. Right. So if they want to, if they so choose, because they are just energy, they're not in corporal form, they're not skin like we are.
Right.
They show themselves to you through that third eye, how they believe makes you feel most comfortable, most apt to see them,
okay,
most likely to see them, to where you're not going to, you know, pull the covers over your head and you're not here. And I mean, that's what I've run across. Another interesting thing is sometimes they show you the only way they know how, and that's how they looked in a picture. Like, I have had spirits who have walked past me in sepia. Okay. I mean, quite obviously a photograph, but they're moving. You know, so that's how they remember themselves. That was the last thing they saw of themselves. And so that's how they showed themselves to me.
Interesting. Sepia tone spirits.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Nice.
I don't even know. I can't explain it. But I do find it fascinating. And I don't really have a problem with that. However they're comfortable makes me comfortable. Not always, I guess, because you do. I mean, like when they have to make you feel something bad, that's not comfortable, but I understand the purpose behind it.
Well, you hear about appearances of spirits with their death face on. So they'll appear to people, you know, as, you know, the moment they died. So, you know, that's
generally to pass a message.
Yeah.
That's generally to pass a message. We've talked about this one before. I had that fellow, I was doing a reading for a lady in Texas. And, I mean, I've told this before, but maybe there's someone new that hasn't heard it. But he, I didn't have his name. They didn't give me anything. They just had me on speakerphone. And so I started telling them everything that I got. Excuse me. And, you know, from seeing the flags from, like, the NASCAR and feeling like I was in the center of the circle where everybody's driving around it and hearing the music and a girl's name and the fact that I felt like I was being beat over the head and that everything was hot, like I was on fire. And it ended up being he was a NASCAR fan. That was his favorite band. That was his ex-girlfriend's name. She dumped him for another guy, and they got together and beat him to death with a baseball bat and set him on fire.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, so that's, I mean, he had to make me feel that so that I would understand and be able to, you know, to let them know, this is your dude. You know, that's the only way he could prove that's who I was talking to.
Because
how would I know? You know, and I wasn't a fan of the fire, I'm not going to lie. But yeah, I mean, that's sometimes they do that because that's the only thing they can do.
Yeah, so they're trying to pass along a message, a very vivid message.
Very much so. Very much so. And, I mean, that might be their only way of saying, this is the only way I can guarantee you know what happened to me or who I am.
Right.
You know, I had one fella that when he disappeared, he was in his late 60s, But the image he gave to me before I even got the phone call from the police department to help look for him, from the police officer's wife, she called me at work. And he showed himself to me about 30 years younger.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing that I was talking about. You know, you're seeing him as a younger person than, you know, his actual age.
But you know why? And this is what was so confusing. His all the images he would give to me would vary 20 to 30 years. And they would go from extreme happiness being young to just this desolate, older, confused man. And I didn't find out until after they found his body, he had Alzheimer's.
Oh, okay.
So that's why his messages were so jumbled and why what he saw was himself younger.
The story is familiar. It's in one of your books, isn't it?
Yep. It pertained. It pertained to what you were talking about. So.
Yeah, no. Feel free to plug your book. Go ahead.
Soulscape.
That's Soulscape.
Ghost and Talking with Ghost are coming out soon. So, yeah.
Real Paranormal Activity is making a good point in the chat room. It's kind of what we were talking about a little earlier. And there is a 30-second delay, so that's why it seems like, you know, we get to some of these things a little bit on the later side. There's about a 30-second delay between what we're saying right now and what you're actually hearing or seeing. But Real Paranormal Activity was talking about you know, people that are, you know, trying to, you know, conjure this up and are looking for, you know, that demon experience. We talk about, you know, Satanists gathering at a home, saying a few words with a paper mache animal head on, you know, going out having a, you know, orgy in the forest and, you know, animal sacrifices and that sort of thing, that are, you know, they're actually actively trying to, you know, conjure this sort of stuff up at times, and you know.
Well, and they're that's very true, and that's one thing. A lot of people make fun of it, and, you know, and think that it's, you know, just something fun to do. But when you're talking about, especially like he said, orgies in the forest, ritual sex and sex magic are two very real things.
Right.
And if you are with somebody and that is your intent to do that, you know, one partner or multiple partners. Never done that, by the way. Thank you. So just don't put that out there.
Haven't done that either, by the way.
Yeah. You need to be very careful. That is probably the strongest you can be is during that act if the two people are of the same mind and that's what they're trying to do. And that's something that people need to be very, very, very careful about. So if, and I actually tell people this, guys and girls alike, if you're with someone who is into that, more of the I'm all about the dark stuff. I you know me, Mike. You know I'm a dark gal, okay?
Right.
I straddle the fence. But if they're leaning more towards wanting to conjure something like that or deal with something like that, and they're your partner, run.
Yeah.
Okay? Or at least never do the hanky-panky with them, because that is a really... that's a really powerful act.
Well, yeah, certainly. And I think a lot of times these people don't know exactly what it is that they're doing. You know, you've been out to Black Bear Church, and that was, you know, we did the My Ghost Story episode on that, and I've also featured it in a couple of my books. And I just want to clarify, I did not say that the parishioners were a cult in trying to conjure stuff up. I have to put the disclaimer out there because the owners of the property completely misunderstood where I was coming from. But after the church had been abandoned and, you know, you had teenagers going in there and drinking and making a mess of the place, there was some evidence in the one little back room on this cement slab that's there of some sort of, you know, animal sacrifices going on there. There were, you know, animal bones that were back there that were burnt and on this slab, and you could see other scorch marks and things like that. So you could see that somebody was trying to do something back there, or at least trying to do something, and they were, we were theorizing that they were successful to some degree, because You know, we've had the crawler that we've witnessed in there. We've seen the little shadow people kind of come up to the windows, but not come inside. They just kind of come to the windows. So there's definitely some darker activity that's going on there that, like I said, we theorize could be attributed to, you know, somebody trying to conjure something up back there. And, you know, I guess personally, I think that if they were, if they really knew what they were doing, and, you know, conjured up what it was that they were, you know, looking for, I don't think it would be hanging around the church there. I think that, you know, they were trying some things out. They were successful to some degree and got these weird little entities. And, well, the crawler's not really little, but, you know, they're kind of, you know, stuck back there in this spot that, you know, that once been a church, now desecrated, and you've got this darker activity going on. So, I don't know. It kind of goes back to, you know, people dabbling in that stuff and just not really knowing what they're doing because they're, I don't know if they're looking for a power trip or, you know, what it
is. That's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're looking for. And here's the thing. When you're talking about any type of magic, and let's go ahead and, you know, jump further,
yeah.
Okay, real quick while we've got a minute. If you're talking about any type of magical practices, if you don't know what you're doing, if you've just read it in books and you haven't worked your way up to understand what is what and how to do things and how to properly do things and to protect yourself and to protect those that you love, if you're just going to jump in with both feet and do something out of anger, revenge, resentment, any of those words, if you're going to do that, if you're going to call on Hecate, if you're going to do anything out of anger, be prepared. Karma is very real, and you'll get bit in the ass.
Yeah.
And you may end up hurting somebody that you had no intention of hurting. Case in point, had a friend who was part of a coven, and somebody made her very angry. And she did something that I know how to do. I would never do it, but she did something that I know how to do. She targeted one person and ended up causing the death of her child.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
The woman that she targeted was fine. The baby she was carrying died.
Oof. Yeah, that's just horrible.
Very real.
Yeah.
Very real. But I'm not going to say how she did it.
I don't want to know because, yeah, I don't want anybody that's watching to kind of...
I'll tell you later, Mike. But okay. I won't ever disclose that in public.
All right.
But be careful what you ask for. You know, Mike and I, we'll jump down that hole. We'll talk about things. We might bring things up that seem a little out there. And it's great to study them and learn about them and, you know, and ask questions. Don't grab onto something that, we or somebody else, you know, out there puts out there and thinks, oh, that's the coolest thing in the world. This person pissed me off. And now I can take care of it. Don't do that.
Yeah. No, like with anything that we've talked about on here before, you know, even if it's just, you know, you're starting to investigate, you know, or, you know, if you're curious about, you know, a Ouija board or any of that stuff, you know, we've always kind of put that disclaimer out there that, hey, you know, go and do those things with somebody who is practiced, who is seasoned, who has a lot of experience and knows what they're doing before you just jump into it yourself. And I think that's... one of the downfalls of the shows on TV, while it's been great for allowing people to open up and be more accepting of the paranormal rather than think anybody who claims that they've seen a ghost is absolutely crazy, it's allowed people to come forth and talk about, you know, their experiences. It's also, you know, one of those catalysts out there that, you know, people sitting at home are just instantly like, oh, yeah, I could do that. I could sit in a, you know, in a dark room and, you know, call out to ghosts. But it's a lot more than just that, and, you know, people go running out there to these, you know, different locations, and they might put themselves in a, you know, in a dangerous location for one. They might hit an abandoned building that's condemned, and they're trying to, you know, play around with the spirits in there and accidentally, you know, get an attachment because they don't know what they're doing, and so it could turn real ugly real quickly just because, you know, they didn't take the time to seek out somebody who's experienced and just, you know, and get that What's the word I'm looking for? But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, and always the buddy system.
Yeah.
You know, always use the buddy system. But no, I mean, it's absolutely true. And I hope if people take anything away from that, and of course, we're going to have people who watch this say, yeah, they're just being old fuddy-duddies.
Right.
We're fuddy-duddies with decades of experience that know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And even with my experience, when I went to Virginia, came home with an attachment that lasted about 3 weeks.
Yep.
And it was 3 weeks of hell.
You've been doing this for decades, and so even, you know, now you're, I mean, it still happens.
Yeah. My last vlog, I addressed that. That was my learning experience. I am not Billy Badass. You know, I can be taken down by this gift. I need to be capable of asking for help. You know? And that took a lot for me to admit. You know how stubborn I am.
Oh, yeah. It's a good type of stubborn, though. Well, you know what?
I know.
It's been an hour.
Doesn't feel like it.
I know. It never does. It never does. But one of the great things about being on here is that we are not completely restricted by you have to get off this very second. We can go over a few minutes if we so deem. So.
Yeah. You know, I still got to go work out, though. I promised my kid.
Oh, well, okay.
I know. Can you believe that? 9 o'clock at night. I have to take another shower.
It's all right. Yeah, I want to thank those who came out to the chat room. Real Paranormal Activity. It had a lot of feedback, a lot of questions. Check out that podcast as well. Jimmy Cortez was out there tonight. Jimmy's been a regular to watch the show. We had Zoe Small and anybody else that I am missing. I think there were a couple others. But, yeah, I really thank all of you for coming out and watching tonight. And we are going to be back next year. So in a couple of weeks. I think we said it was January 10th.
Uh-huh.
I think was the date. Yeah. Sorry, I've been nursing a cough here for a couple of weeks. Vanessa heard a lot of that last night.
I did, right?
Right, because we're doing all the testing for this, and I just went into a coughing fit. Like, about once a day, all of a sudden, it just pops up. So
about this time.
Yeah, about this time, so I'll have to go drink some tea here in a little bit. But, yeah, so our next show will be January 10th, and be sure to tune in for that. We don't have a guest lined up yet, but we got a couple of weeks. We'll get a guest lined up, and who should we get out?
I don't know. Oh, no, I have some ideas, but I don't want to say it on
here. Right, okay. Yeah, we were talking about we wanted to keep, yeah. Well, we had a lot of different ideas of people that we can, of course, get out on the show. So, but yeah, so it'll be a new year for Edge of the Rabbit Hole. A lot of interesting topics that we're going to cover. We'll have some great guests out, and yeah, we usually put them on the spot and dive down into that hole. So, I really want to thank everybody for the past year where we've, you know, transitioned from radio show into the live stream show now. Yeah, we've had a few technical difficulties along the way, but I think it's kind of ironing themselves out. And really want to wish everybody, you know, a happy holiday season and a great new year. So anything else that you want to part with, Vanessa?
Just be sure to tune back here on January 10th because it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And if you like talking about strange stuff, we're your people.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, and also, if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please go ahead and subscribe, and then you'll be looped in onto our upcoming show. So, again, everybody, thank you for coming out tonight. I'm Mike Ricksecker with Vanessa Hogel. Till next time.
Bye-bye.
Oh, and the next time we'll have, hopefully, in place the music from The Longing. Yeah, so we tried that. We had that in there last week. I think it did not play correctly at the beginning of the show. Played correctly at the end, and we got nailed for copyright because of their licensing. And she's like, "No, why did that happen?" It was like, "Well, your licensing company." So we'll hopefully have that in place in the next couple of weeks. So until next time, thanks again for watching.
Bye-bye.